Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For 25 years, Seth Lightman has seen it all. From the newest electric car revolution, solar power, bike lanes made in NYC. And now we are here. More electric cars, need for more renewables and eco-friendly products in our world. Well, now it's time for an all-out podcast for this time. You're listening to The Green Living Guy Show. He's funny, real, exactly on point. And some think his style is so raw, it's crazy. Let's do this, folks. It's time for The Green Living Guy Show with Seth Lightman.
What's up, everybody? It's Seth Lightman, the Green Living Guy. I have the honor of talking with one of our Jewish, not just people that are out there speaking, but is a model, is an actress, and doing her thing. And I just needed to get her on this The Green Living Guy podcast. Welcome to the stage. Welcome to the show, Danielle Yablanka. Pleasure. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. So let's start with what I usually do is, how did you start? Well, let's put it this way. I would assume that Jewish came first, modeling came second. I'm going on a limb.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I was always a quirky, like really tall, skinny kid. But Jewish pride was always there, but the platform I've built definitely would not have happened without my modeling career.
So tell me a little bit more then about your modeling career and how that all started and where you've been and what, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, I want to know.
Yeah. Sure. Well, like I said, I was always a really quirky, tall, really skinny kid. All of my elementary school photos are like, you see a line and then there's like that one awkward one at the end who's like super tall.
Yeah.
And in middle school, I think I was like 5'10". And I was just, I wouldn't say I was the most confident. I definitely had like a fun little personality, but I'd always been interested in modeling, clear, because everyone tells you when you're tall, like you should be a model. And one day in the newspaper, I saw Ivanka Trump was having a model search because she used to have a modeling agency. And I was like in eighth grade going into ninth grade, and that would make me like 14, I think, 13 or 14. And I went to this model search, and at that point, I think I turned 15, and I met all these amazing girls at this search. And I didn't get it because you're supposed to be 16 and older to be considered. So they let me be a part of it, but I wasn't actually able to participate as a contender. Okay. And it was a really cool day where I'd met a bunch of girls and I made the most of it. And it turned out a lot of those girls have continued being my friends to this day, but really mentored me and guided me in the space. And as I went to high school, one of the girls went to the high school I went to, and she really helped me and introduced me to my agent now. And so since then, I started a platform with my modeling, which was, Instagram was still new. It was 2015.
Yeah.
So it was still newer and girls were starting to use platform Instagram, you know, it was modeling, influencer modeling. And I did that. I modeled, and I posted it online. I did Miami Fashion Week. I do mostly runway because I'm 6 feet tall and I was really skinny. And now I just do more local modeling, just smaller gigs, because I really want to focus my goals and my platform on my Jewish advocacy and inspiring others to use their platforms as a space to speak up.
Absolutely. So I'll put links up for you in the description, of course, but you did Miami Fashion Week. So, some magazines you've been in that people can, like, you know, skim the papers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do a lot of print work, but I have done the cover of Coral Gables magazine in Miami when I was younger. I'm not a print girly. My face isn't really for print. It's more my height is great for the runway. What happened?
Stop. Nonsense. Okay.
That doesn't change the way I feel about myself. I just know my limits within the industry. And I also knew that if I hadn't hit a certain point of stardom by the time I was 18, I wasn't going to be a famous supermodel. I was just going to, and that's really actually a huge time in my life where I decided that my platform could be so much more than just pretty pictures. So I did a big turn. Yeah, a big change. Thanks.
That's a big thing. I mean, that's a big thing to, I mean, maybe it was Hashem's work, but it's like to realize that you're more than just a photo is a big thing. A lot of people don't get that. So to almost give yourself that opportunity to dig deeper into yourself is like must be a real transformation for yourself, because you got to feel, you know, identify with what you were and get that out there. Yeah. Just besides.
Very much. And I know that every experience I had, either whether that be in a professional setting, backstage on a runway, dealing with clients, I learned that from a very young age. And I think it really helped propel me into my nonprofit career, where I'm able to be with people and talk to people and just be a professional. And I never, it's really funny you ask me questions about modeling, because I typically never talk about it in the advocacy space. No, it's okay. It's I allow it. You know, a lot of times growing up, people would tell me that I would never be taken seriously in the advocacy space if I was a model, and if I was posting pretty pictures all the time, how would I be taken seriously in a political space?
Like, who's saying that? You know?
I know. It was, and to be like 17, 18 and hear that, it's like, am I going to betray who I want to be for, you know, it's a lot of conflicting ideas, but at the end of the day, I knew who I was and what I stood for. And I knew that it didn't matter if I was modeling, I could still talk about politics and be hot and Jewish. That's a big thing. And also growing up, you know, being a model, a lot of guys mainly, but even women would look at you and just like write you off as a model. Like, oh, you're a model. Or the first thing a guy would ask you on a first date is, you're a model. Tell me about that. And so it's a lot more refreshing for me and empowering when people talk about my other attributes or my brains or my activism or my art, because to me, those are more valuable parts of my identity. But modeling is still something I'm very proud of. And it's definitely shaped me into the woman that I am today.
Well, that's, I think, where I was trying to go with your journey here in this discussion is like, what do you think started first? And then we got into modeling, but then like now, as we think about it, you're into this Jewish identity component to your brand, and beside that being your brand, being you. So how did you integrate that? When did you integrate that? How much did you do it before? And then the other, you know, like, and then how much did you do before? And then what did 10-7 do to change that, I guess?
It's funny. I call my 2019 was like my peak modeling year. I was like the skinniest I'd ever been. And, you know, like I was booking all the shows and I was a senior in high school and I was doing well in my classes. So I was missing a lot of school actually for modeling. And I went to a fine arts school, and it was a very prestigious art school in Miami, design and architecture. So I was studying fashion design. And at the same time, I was building my own collection, senior collection, and my senior art portfolio, while missing a lot of school for fashion shows and events. And just like a small, like where my world collided was when I was able to take my art and put it, I printed my artwork onto fabric and I created a fashion senior collection that was a Jewish pride collection that was presented in Miami Fashion Week in 2019. But that's also the year that my activism took a huge step forward. I was more involved in BBYO and had Jewish youth group and had leadership opportunities presented my way. And I was able to climb on every opportunity I could, applied for every scholarship I could, and put myself in every room I wanted to be in. So that when, you know, as my modeling career, like I said, I turned 18 and you kind of realize like, this isn't what I want to do, or this isn't going to be the, my big break. I started to get more involved in BBYO and leadership and Stand With Us. And then I worked at Jewish Federation and I went on all these trips my senior year, thanks to scholarships and opportunities. I put myself in the right spaces where I was offered the opportunity to go do APAC and to do Stand With Us and to do BBYO international programs. And that's really, really, really impacted the human that I am and the speaker, the activist that I am. It exposed me to Israel, Zionism. I didn't even know what Zionism was. And I definitely skipped it. But in high school, I started the Jewish Student Union Club in my high school because there was no Jewish group. It happened because my freshman year of high school, in ninth grade, I experienced anti-Semitism. It was Multicultural Day and I was drawing an Israel flag and some boys came up, really cute boys, came up and offered to color the flag for me and they drew a big swastika in the middle. And I'd never faced anything like that in my life. I'd always been so proud of my identity, so proud of Judaism, but I realized in that moment that I didn't even know what I was fighting for. How could I be so proud of who I am and not know where I come from? Right. And that really, really, again, being 15, 16 back then, was a peak moment where I realized if I want to talk about these things, I need to know what I'm talking about. So as I get older, I'm putting myself in these spaces where I'm able to learn and digest as much as possible so that, God forbid, that happens again, I know how to combat it.
Okay. So you started that at around, 17, 18. And then, just to give you context for me, I was a religious kid or a synagogue kid when I was growing up because I lived in an anti-Semitic town. So it was my only savior. Then when we left there, I went to a different town and finally gained friends, but I also was grateful for my Jewish identity, got involved in USY. And then I was back then, just to give age out there, it was around the late 80s. So back in 88, it was when I volunteered as an internship for the Coalition of Free Soviet Jews.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the one that was with Natan Sharansky and all that, that whole movement. So my job would be every day verifying the books of what the State Department saying was emigrated and then what we had is like names and stuff and to make sure there was no gaps or anything like right. that. And then I was able, grateful to go backstage to these massive rallies. And I'm like, oh my God, is that all?
Yeah, it's thing? Empowering.
Yeah. And you start to realize what it's all about. It was funny because I was even at a USY event and I'm standing there, with the promoting Soviet Jewry and all this kind of stuff and nobody's doing anything. And all of a sudden, I was like, I don't know what to do. I was almost frustrated, like nobody is listening. And I started to almost pack up and one dude taps me on the shoulder and he goes, don't stop. He goes, don't stop. Just keep on doing what you're doing. So,
That's a huge moment. That's a huge moment.
Yeah. And that's kind of like when I realized, okay.
I think that's a defining moment as an activist or as a Jew.
Yeah.
To tell you to stop or to hide yourself or be smaller.
Yeah. He said, don't stop. He just looked me in the eye. It was like, don't. I mean, I've had anti-Semitic events before then, but as the definitely the change to an activist or at least understanding what standing up means, that was very empowering, to say the least. Then I interned for my congressman at the time. It was Congressman Ben Gilman, who was heavily involved in Soviet Jewry and all that kind of stuff. So that was fun. Then I went through high school, like through college. I was just more of like, I would go to Hillel, but mostly was the high holidays and the Passover guy. I don't know. Even when everybody else was eating, bagel and cream cheese, I'd still go to my fraternity table and bust out, the bagel, the matzah and everything like that to be like, come on, with my pledge name, which ironically I had two different pledge names. But I'm going to go with the one that, where I originally started my fraternity. So, they would be like, come on, Scooter, do me a favor, take it, eat a bagel or something. Have some pizza. I'm like, oh, dude, it's Passover. I'm going to represent. So, I kept doing that. And then, as I got older, I think the only other time I really got involved, like I volunteered for something, was when my wife and I were still dating and she just graduated college and she was about to go birthright. So we did Sorel. So we did, we stayed actually on an intelligence base during the week. And then at weekends, we would stay at her aunt and uncle's. And then we toured after 3 weeks the country. And then after that, we went down to the Red Sea and chill for a little bit. It was fun. Yeah. So volunteering for the Israeli army and being on a base and all that kind of stuff was enough of experience. Yeah. And younger ages, I was in Zionist camp. So yeah, like when my dad was trying to get his PhD, he would send me off to Zionist camp. So
wow.
I learned how to delve in as a kid and all that kind of stuff. So A lot of it now is like taking the record and putting it back on the needle, really. Mm-hmm. It's just like I've been doing my thing and everything, but then 10/7 came. And I was, of course, at first was in a state of shock, and then I just suited up, I guess. Went to war, as we all are. So what did 10/7 do for you?
So it's interesting because I had my anti-Israel experience my freshman year of college. I went to a fine arts college in California. I had a full ride, super excited to bring my activism there. But I couldn't find a community. And I had a professor, a Jewish professor, who called Israel occupied Palestine. And I was just like mind boggled and lost out there. And then to my luck, COVID hit in 2020. And I said, F this. And I dropped out. It was the hardest decision of my life. I make it sound very easy, but like I really was at the lowest point of my life. And I dropped out and I moved back to Florida and I felt like such a loser. And crazy because Florida is like not really that closed. But I was totally embraced by the Jewish community here, the Israel community, which I'd never been. I never went to Jewish school. I never went to a Hebrew school. Yes. Ramah for 2 years. Yes. But like otherwise I never had so Hillel like really embraced me here, in Boca. And I just found my community and, I was very involved, very active. And then we had the Kanye thing happen. And that's when I started to make videos about it. Like I was always using my story. That's how I started social media activism, shifting away from modeling, was like posting. I have a professor who has an anti-Israel, like here I am wearing an IDF shirt to class. And people were like, yes, you go. This is so badass and blah, blah, blah. And so from there, I'd always use my story to let people know what was going on. But then the Kanye thing happened, and I was like, how can this be happening right now? And I made a video, and the video did well. And from there, I realized how much I liked making videos, and I kept making videos. And then I've been using my platform for a while now to talk about Israel, to talk about my Jewish identity. And it means everything to me when I have young people who walk up to me and recognize and say, like, I like your page. I watch all your stories. I'm like, oh, thank goodness someone's watching it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but then 10/7 happened, October 7th. And I was sitting on my couch. It was the middle of the night for us. And I was watching Netflix and no one was awake. And I got the rocket alert on my phone and I'm just looking around and I'm like, ha, Hamas is awake. Like, Gaza woke up. It's been so quiet for so long. I'm texting my friends in Israel and I'm like, guys, please be safe. LOL. But then we realize it's like it's not just a regular rocket attack. It's a terrorist attack. It's an intrusion. And the news is coming in. And it's literally 3, 4 o'clock in the morning here. And And I'm screaming. I'm like, Abba, my dad. I'm like, dad, like, you have to wake up. There's a terrorist attack in Israel. And he's like coming to the living room in his underwear. And it was just so awful. But it was a mind blowing day. And I was so depressed, but there's no time for that. It was the time for action. And I was posting what was happening. So as soon as people woke up, they saw my story and people are messaging me, what's going on? What's going on? I'm freaking out. And like, your phone is just blowing up. And I'll tell you, my phone hasn't stopped blowing up since that day, where I see that the Jewish community is more united than ever. I've never felt so connected and so united with my community. I really, really see who my real friends are now. Childhood friends who I don't hear from the whole time, who've stayed with me in Israel before years ago, who text me about workout classes, and I say, well, thank you for checking up on my 90-year-old Safta in Israel that you stayed with. She's doing great, thanks. And for them to say that, you know where I stand, I really knew in that moment, yes, I know where you stand. You can go stand in Palestine for all I care. I really learned who my real friends were, and from that day on, I really found continuously learning every day the importance and the power of social media. My job now, sorry if I'm rambling, but my job now is to work with college students across the U.S. On October 7th, I was put in a group chat by Hillel International as a graduate. And I was like, oh, what is this? Super fun. I'll help however I can. They asked me if I could help out. Why not? I was in between jobs at the time. And it turned into them turning around and hiring me fully to run this group chat of over 300 college students from 150 different campuses across the U.S., where I make sure students feel heard and I see what's happening on campuses in real time. And I'm watching this anti-Zionism unfold, anti-Semitism on campuses. And it's so scary. There's a war happening in my country, and then there's a war happening on campus, and there's a war happening online.
Right.
And it's all happening at once. My screen time suddenly went from like 4 hours a day to 13 hours a day. And yeah, so now all I do all day is I facilitate this group chat, and I make sure that what's happening on campus, I'm sending to an influencer chat and making sure that the right media sources are getting that information. I'm posting as much as I can in real time to combat as much misinformation and misguided media as possible.
Yeah, there is a lot of misguided media. I never thought I would, I never thought that the newspapers that I wanted to have linked to my stuff, I don't want anything to do with anymore. I never thought in a million years that all of those groups and all those papers that we all bought and we subscribed to or we read religiously, and we thought that was like the hallmark of journalism, was all involved in this stuff.
Yeah.
It boggles the mind at so many different levels, but it also, for us, I almost feel like as the older I get, nothing surprises me anymore. It's like, oh, they were all embedded.
And it's scary. I'm starting to say the same thing. I'm 23 years old and I'm saying the same thing. I nothing's surprising me anymore. I'm seeing the most awful articles or tweets and this, and I'm seeing what my students are going through. And I'm like, oh my God, is it horrible that I'm saying, thank God I'm not a student right now on campus? I can't even, my one student's texting me right now how she's afraid to post about it because she's afraid she's going to get spat on her way to class. Like, what world are we living in that's okay, that people want to be on the side of people who spit on you on your way to class or beat you till you need facial surgery, reconstruction surgery? I know this is happening. It's not just, I'm not making it up.
Oh, no, this is real.
Yes, and it's really, really concerning. It's concerning how the double standard. I always thought we were overreacting with anti-Semitism. I always said, we need to be careful. We can't get too comfortable. My grandparents were Holocaust survivors, I know.
Right.
But, I never thought it would be this level of war or hatred. I can't even comprehend it. I still haven't been able to comprehend that logic. It's foreign to me.
Well, the older I get, the more I start to realize what was really going on. Kind of thing. It kind of all after 10/7 makes more sense, I guess, in some ways. Because when, and I say this really, and I'll be really You know, sometimes I have a new person who's helping me, and I really need to kind of voice this kind of stuff. You know, all the kind of work that I've done in green living and in the environment and everything like that has always been with love and light. And I think that there are those people that are conflicted are usually the ones that are angry and stand up and will do all that kind of stuff. So their job is to constantly, like, try and make you look like you're worse. But
yeah.
In reality, you aren't. It's that they are, like, what's going on in the Palestinian community or right in the Free Palestine. Like, they're trying to flip the script on us. But I'm doing is just holding the mirror right back at them. It's no. But
what's her name? Einat Wilf, her podcast on We Should All Be Zionists, had like her whole first and the maybe second episode it is now I'm listening to, but talks about how you just get bullied. Like, it's the conflict's like bullying. It's like they just like bully you into being smaller and smaller, and you can't let them win. It's just. I will say it. I'll say it 100 times over and over again, but I'd rather die a proud Jew than a scared one. So
I think that's something I've also learned too, is that especially now is just like, you can't stop us. I have seen what you're seeing. I've seen a community come together like I never thought would. I have seen people that I never thought I would ever be aligned with ever. Being aligned with because of our Jewishness and our Am Yisrael Chai and our unity. And it's just amazing that, more importantly, like after 10-7, I said, let me give my profile to the community, and because how can I help, right? So I gave, and by giving, I got more back. Yes, I lost people, and I'm glad I did. See, I don't want to be with you. But I gave more back in not just in and it's not about numbers. I'm not talking numbers. I gained in the people, the quality of the people that came to follow me and to join what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
It was more enriching and rewarding to me in all of my years of doing Instagram. I started, I think, in around 2011 after Sundance. I came back. I was Twitter verified, and all my friends were going, yo, what about Instagram? And I go, what? And they all turn to me and they go, Instagram. And I go, okay, I'm filling out the profile. So, but now it's turned into a massive platform where our word united can be listened to. I have two boys right now in college, and they're dealing with I'm talking about.
There you
literally,
go.
Literally. So I am living what you're dealing with real time. I have, and they're getting bombarded as well. They're getting heavily bombarded by a lot of nonsense. Luckily, one son hasn't had it as bad as the other, but the other one is got it to the point where I feel really bad and want him to come home so that we can just help him out, because he got it bad. He's getting it bad. He's and it's not cool. So
it's awful. It's really awful. But all I can tell you is two-way parent from a student who is on the more outspoken side.
Yeah.
I just hope that you're supporting. I know for a fact that you are supporting them both. Yeah. And that the pride that you have in your kids' pride means everything. Because my parents, without my parents' support, yes, they always worry for me, but I know that they would never stand in the way of my success and my passions as an activist and my need to speak out. I know that they would always, always, always care for my safety and my well-being, and that's their job. But at the end of the day, their support and their pride in me is what has made me who I am.
I couldn't be prouder of my kids. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My oldest, who's going through it right now, he's about to get his master's. He'll be a music teacher. That's going to be exciting. And he's really, really talented. So I'm excited to see him step into the career world doing that. And my youngest is at Albany for cybersecurity right now. So he's going to be helping us defend against these kinds of issues. And he sees it and he gets it. You know, he really gets it real time. He sees what certain I'm not going to bring up names, but certain social media companies have done to almost algorithm in the Gaza speak. Let me see the S. What comes after S? So is T. T. So anyway, I just think that, you know, we all have to stand together. And I remember, it's ironic now. I met a long time ago David the Rothschild, and we were talking, and he did a presentation, and he was talking about what will save the world. And we were talking, yes, about the environment, but in reality, what he was getting toward was how are we going to change social thought. And he said it's going to be the people that are down hack creating code and doing social media and on the computer and doing this kind of stuff. So, and he, and then after he was done with the video, after he was done with his speak and I'm clapping, you could see him turn to me and he goes like this. He points right at me. So it was like, yeah, it was really a profound, those kind of profound moments when you look up and go, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. You know, so
I call it the full circle moments.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it really is in many ways. Look, if you ever need help with the college campuses, let me know. I'm here to help. I'm here to support. I'm here to serve.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
I don't want any kids feeling unsafe. That is, I DM. I'm not afraid to DM NYPD. I am not afraid to DM Governor Hochul. I am not afraid to tell them in my story, hey, look at this, like with Cornell. Deal with this. Like now we have with CUNY or Columbia or all these real things.
Yeah.
All these real things. And we're grateful we have a governor who stood up, who's created a tribunal to deal with these kinds of issues. And not many governors have, especially, I'll say, in blue states. So it's very reassuring to have not just a blue governor, but to have a governor who's blue and also cares for the Jewish people in such a way that she does. So I, you know, politics aside, and I learned that from somebody else in the Jewish spaces, politics aside, we have to give respect to those that are in office right now doing the right thing. And so I do support Governor Hochul in her advocacy and support for the Jewish people. And politics aside, so literally. And so where I've seen you, you know, with Stand With Us, which is a great movement. I'm trying to get involved with You Belong, so maybe we'll talk about that on the back end. But, like, there's a lot of folks, you're hearing literally what we're talking about in the Jewish community. You're talking about two Jewish people that are fighting our fight and how we can work together. And this is really what it's about. I even posted about it in Sahi Israel's, which is another nonprofit, saying we have to come together. We need to put our differences aside because that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem does not want us to be fighting. Hashem wants us to be working together and coming together. And the more we do that, the more enriching everybody's experiences will be. And then we'll all be good. Because that's when the Jewish people will be good, is when we're all good. So it's a, you know, I love doing this because it's not just because it's the right thing or whatever, but it feels good in the soul, you know, doing that kind of stuff. It just, it's right. So tell me about what you've been doing recently after 10-7 to stand up and to fight the fight. And I've seen you at some events. I saw you create that amazing dress. Your creativity is just astounding to me. And I wasn't like shouting out, oh, look at you in the dress. I was just like, wow.
Thank you.
The creativity that you put into that. I saw the thought that you put into what you were wearing to represent what you felt and the art in that. And I was like applauding that. I really was.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Right now I'm trying to be everywhere and nowhere. I'm trying to, I just got back from like a little, I'll call it like a Telly Blanca tour, where I was just like, I was in New York for a fellowship reunion for my college fellowship for Israel. I was in Israel for a week, and then I flew to Miami and back to LA for a Hillel conference for content creator students. And then I was just in New York last week for the Soldiers Save Lives Gala. And tonight I'm going to the Hillel Gala for our local Hillels. And just, I'm trying to be everywhere. I'm trying to make a name and make a platform that can inspire. Like, everyone's been asking me, everyone asks me now, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? But like, where do you see this going? What do you see as your, where is this going for you? And my answer to that in full confidence now is I want to be the same person that I looked up to when I was in high school or college, looking at that stage. Like, I want to be on that stage talking and inspiring the next generation, because I believe wholeheartedly that the next generation are the future leaders. And while we might have Abraham Accords on the back end now, but like Abraham Accords and all these great things happening, if you're talking to my generation, who are the next people supposed to make the Abraham Accords, they don't feel the same way. And that's what scares me. I want to make sure that the older generations want to continue investing in my generation, yeah, and that my generation wants to be invested in, that they want to learn, that they want, that they know that they're supported and that they have opportunities and that they have a voice. And that's my dream. My dream is to inspire others, and I'm doing it. I'm, whether it's through painting a dress, making a statement, or posting on social media and maybe not getting modeling jobs because one of my clients is posting for a ceasefire and I had to make a comment. Yeah. So it just like, it is what it is. But like you said, I just found so many more people that have embraced me since my, I call it also the October 7th cleanse of haters. So that's what I'm doing. That's the plan. I'm just doing everything I can to hopefully, God willing, be a role model for others to also use their platforms. Because you don't know how many students come up to me and say, Danielle, I wish I could use my platform like you. Thank you so much for using your voice. Yeah. Danielle, like, I don't feel confident enough to post about Israel. Like, I don't feel confident enough in my like knowledge about it. And it really hurts me, like, as if it came easy. And I just like happen to be a great learner. I'm not. I have a ton of learning disabilities, and I always struggled academically. And I took the time and energy to make sure I was educated and confident in what I was saying before. You have to know what you're talking about to stand behind it. It's so important. You should never follow anything blindly. You should question everything always and follow with knowledge, not just your heart.
Yeah.
And so that's the goal. That's the dream. I just want to be an example, God willing.
No, you will. You are. I think one thing I remember, and I'll give you this gem. I was at an event back then. It was the Warner Brothers studio, but now they have it at like this airport thing for the Environmental Media Association, which is an organization that I really don't mess with much anymore. I have to have a talk with their executive director, who's Jewish. I haven't seen her really speaking up, and it's quite disheartening. In fact, the only one that really of her, what I would call it, stable of actors that has been speaking out has only been like Emmanuel Shikri, and I give her respect. You know, I knew when I saw her on Entourage and her glow, I said, there's something about this woman. Now I realize what it is. The gem is that when they started asking me, what do you do? And I said, I want to, and I'm working on whatever. And even I was with a group of people, and a man turned around with his friend, and they both said to me, you're not wanting to do, you're doing. And it was Ted Turner.
Wow.
And his friend. And she, has met people like Mother Teresa and stuff like that. So this is like, when I heard that, I realized I'm doing. I might not be where I want to be, but I'm doing. So you're doing it. Whatever you're saying that you wish you're going to do, you're doing. You're actualizing real time. So I applaud you for what you're doing. I mean, it's honorable Thank what you. You're doing to give your platform to such a more noble cause. And I appreciate that. I always appreciate people that are more than just like, you know, doing duck face.
Yeah,
more than a face. And trying to get 100,000 likes, you know, something like that. You're putting your brain power behind it, and you're really actualizing this really beautiful thing for yourself, which is to stand for, so that other kids, other Jewish students, and other Jewish youth can A, be appreciative and understanding of Israel, especially with the disinformation going on in the mainstream media. Two, to stand up with style and grace and creativity is even more amazing. And three, to not just want to do it today, but to continue that as a path for yourself is really enriching to know. So
thank you for saying that.
Well, my pleasure. I can spot it when I spot it. I can call it out. I know what's up. And I respect that because not many people are willing nowadays to use their platform to do that. And it's quite a shame. I've had my, you know, the seven stages of death when you're going through everything and realizing that people aren't going to be there. That you're going to have to be that dude that you thought that would rally with you. No, they're not going to be. It's going to be crickets. And it has been really like silent. So to have people like yourself involved only makes me feel stronger about where my kids are who they're looking up to and what they're thinking about, because I know at least you've got the Judean warrior sword on you with you. And yeah, we must applaud that. So where can people find you besides Instagram so that we can get the word about you? And mind you, I say this to everybody, we will put up all the links that you want in the description on all the streaming platforms so that every time anybody goes to Apple, Amazon, or wherever, they're going to find those hyperlinks in the description. So tell me what they are and we'll make sure they get in there.
Sure. It's my Instagram's my main platform. I'm on TikTok, but everything I post about Israel is super duper shadow banned. So I've almost now pretty much given up on it. But I do scroll on it. But Instagram is my main platform. It's my only platform. And I also have my website, which is just my name, DanielleBlanca.com. And from there you can find updates on my Instagram, from my Instagram on my website, but you can also find my speaking engagements, some news articles, and my website where I sell Jewish jewelry, because I want everyone to be able to access and afford a Magen David, a Jewish star, a map of Israel, and not have to travel all the way to Israel to get one. Now is the time, guys, to wear your star louder and prouder than ever, and don't let anyone squash that. Yeah, wear it.
For those that are just listening, I'm showing Daniela that I have my mezuzah out, and I just kissed it, and also more importantly that I've got another piece that I'm getting commissioned by a jeweler that is with a some very very famous celebs, and she loved my design so much that she's giving it to her child. So I'm very excited, and when I pose for it and do my thing for it, I'm going to share with you and hopefully we can meet one day so we can do,
that'd be great.
But I really want to support and help your cause because it is more than noble. It's what's needed, especially when education is being attacked at the same time that Jews are being attacked and Israel is being attacked. Mm-hmm. As Brooke Goldstein said, it wasn't just October 7th that hurt me. It was October 8th when they took to the streets in masses. It was really when I was like, it was the 1-2 combo. And look, I was up that night too. And I had a friend who got me into Telegram groups that I wish I didn't see, but I saw it all. And
I know, so did I. And I want to say I regret it, but if we're not going to bear witness, who will?
Yeah, I had, you know, there's the thing about blot your transgressions, but then there's the other thing of no evil and no, you know, there's a time for war and a time for peace. And this is definitely the time for war. And, you know, Lebanon's next and we have to be prepared for what's coming, but be strong together, which is what it's all about. I'm just going to say, you know, I appreciate also the, because I've mentioned this before to other people, so I'll mention it to you, is like, I see that you have like this natural look and glow going on versus just like makeup caked on. And that's reassuring too, because, you know, I have warned people that sometimes they walk out of their house putting 400 chemicals on their body and not even knowing it. So it's really reassuring to know that you do that, because I always try and tell the models. I'll DM and be like, when they have to do a natural face, hope I like, you know, I'll be like, yes, that's your natural. That's holla, holla. So, you know, do your thing, represent. And as Green Living Guy says, one small step at a time. Today's one small step, besides sporting Green Living, is Daniela Labanca, because of her support, advocacy, and willingness to do the right thing at the time, not just when the time was called for, but before then. So she saw, like I do, saw the writing on the wall of where we were heading, especially after Kanye. I literally kept saying in groups, in chats, something's about to pop. And I don't know what it is, but something's about to pop off, because you don't have this much pressure without something going off. And yep, it did it. So we are Judean warriors in this fight, and I am with you, sword and shield in hand, ready to go. So thank you, Daniela LeBlanca.
Peace out. Thank you.
Hang on.
You've been listening to The Green Living Guy Show with your host, Seth Lightman. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.